Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 454 of Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 36, The Master's Herald, part 2. I wanted to say two a funny way, but I couldn't think of one.
Sometimes they just don't exist. It aired October 19th, 2002, written by Jill Donnellan, directed by Koichi Sakamoto. I don't have any jokes.
I mean, there's really nothing to joke about, I don't think, that's happened. Usually this is where we vamp about life for a minute, and nothing's really happened.
Yeah, y'all, I don't have any jokes. I don't have any jokes right now. I guess just like if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. Sometimes we have jokes, but right now I don't have any jokes. So we're just going to, I guess we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back, we talk about it, and you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs. And you should, it's a two-parter, so if you want to watch this one, you probably should watch the last one as well.
I think more than any other two-parter, you need to watch this part one.
That part one was pretty buck wild. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going from there, but you definitely need to see part one of this at least.
Yeah, someone died. Like, we watched someone get murdered.
In cold blood while they stared down the person killing them.
It was wild. So anyway, we're gonna go watch the Master's Last Herald, the final one.
He's just Harold.
It's just Harold. We're gonna go watch the Master's Herald Part 2.
Wild Time.
And we're back, and we just watched The Master's Herald Part 2.
We watched it.
So we did the intro part, we broke to watch it, and then a bunch of tree construction started happening. I don't know how much of it made it into the last episode, but there was like a lot going on in the background, and it was like very loud, and hopefully I managed to noise cancel it. This time I was like, I'm not even playing with it. We're just gonna wait a couple hours. And they're finally gone. I can still hear some sawing, but it's not like directly like 40 feet next to my apartment. It's like down somewhere, so it shouldn't pick up or be hard to get rid of, but boy was it just like right outside my apartment. So anyway, it's 2 hours later.
2 hours and an impromptu nap for me.
Impromptu nap for you. I burnt my tongue on some broth that I made.
Yep. I was playing Pokemon, and I'm at this weird part of the Pokedex where I have to just do a bunch of fishing.
Yeah, fish.
So I caught a Basculin after many, many failed attempts, because they love to kill themselves, and they are terrible, awful, ugly fish.
Is that a new Pokemon or no?
Nope, it's from Unova.
Okay, that's why I don't know it.
It's just like this ugly piranha.
Okay.
It has a red form or a blue form.
Oh, I think I've seen of this Pokemon. I don't know if I've seen it.
So I caught that, and then I needed to catch Wishiwashi, and that is when I fell asleep, because fishing is a boring activity, both for fake and for real.
I mean, I like regular fishing, but I feel like I could at max go fishing like 3 times in like a summer, or ice fishing once, but I don't.
I went ice fishing as a kid once, and my foot went in the hole, and I never went back.
That'll do it.
Because, boy, that water's pretty cold, you guys. Yep.
Yeah, the water under the ice almost is cold. I think it might be colder than the ice. The ice just hasn't gotten to it yet. Anyway, heyjakeandjosh.com, that's what we're doing. That's our website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes. Lost Galaxy should be up by now, because this is like, I think, 4 weeks from when we're recording it that it's going to air. So,
you know, if I was a motivated person, I would have done during those 2 hours.
Well, yeah, but I mean, hey. So we're not gonna be recording for 2 weeks, so you'll have at least a chunk of time that you'd normally have sectioned off that you can slide over. You can also find our classic feeds, volume 1 and 2. Go listen to the old episodes in a podcatcher of your choice. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @MorphinGrid. We're on Early Gold Podcasts. We're on Google Play sometimes. We're on Stitcher, Podknife, Podbay, Podbaby. Pod horn
Podhorn?
Podhorn. It's just podcasts, but they're louder. It just cranks the volume on the podcasts.
It's all of your favorite podcasts, but in the background is just that like bugle wake up music.
Just a bump and up and up and up.
Podhorn.
Podhorn. Get up. That's their slogan. Get on up now for Podhorn.
And they download and start playing automatically at 4 a.m.
Oh yeah, you can't stop it. It will get you up before the sun. It's a service. Is it a good service? Who knows?
There's an audience for it. There's an audience for everything.
You know, somehow, some way. Some people listen to this, so it's proof positive that there is an audience for everyone. Where was I? You can leave us a rating review on any of those places if you want. That'd be great. We're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some neat stuff in return. There's Tattoo Teen Yelling Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes. There's bonus episodes, early episodes, Pokemon stuff, you know, all sorts of things that you can go listen to. And if we didn't take a 2-hour break, maybe we were going to talk about the Ghostbusters trailer, but we did have to take 2 hours because of just some violent tree removal right outside my apartment. So maybe that'll wait unless we're feeling frisky.
Nah, we'll see. We'll see how this goes.
We'll see.
I have minimal thoughts about it. It kind of just washed over me. So
I watched it twice. I haven't watched it a third time. You know what? Let's just do it now. Let's just do it right all now. Right. So the new Ghostbuster trailer, I love Ghostbuster. It's my second favorite movie. And Ghostbusters 2 is a sequel to my second favorite movie. How much do I like Ghostbusters 2? I don't know. It's variable. I don't watch Ghostbusters 2 every year like I do for Ghostbusters 1, if that's any indication. The new Ghostbusters trailer just feels really weird.
All I got from it when I watched it was that it's basically a Stranger Things movie. It feels exactly the same as a Stranger Things trailer to me.
Poor Finn Wolfhard. Poor Stranger Thing boy number one. He's never going to get to do anything cool that isn't, like, drenched in 80s nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like, he plays a kid in the 80s in Stranger Thing. He played a kid in the 80s in It. Now he's playing a kid in the now, but it's about a movie from the 80s.
Yeah, playing a kid in the now that is doing 80s stuff.
Yeah. That poor boy. So I was talking about it on Twitter, and it got like just an incredible amount of likes and retweets for me going like, all right, here's some cool things about it, and here's some things I don't like about it. Anyway, that's the Ghostbusters trailer. I was like, all right, everybody's real hopped up to talk about that. And yesterday, someone got real pissy in my mentions about.
I saw your tweet about it, and so I went and I looked.
Yeah, I was like, I want to dunk on him. He had like 80 followers, right? And so whenever I see someone with that few followers, which is not an indication of like how much your opinion matters or anything.
Right.
So like, I could just publicly nuclear dunk on him because I'm really good at being mean. It's like one of my top three life skills. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to mute him and move on. But yeah, so he's mad about, because I was like, the tone looks really weird because Ghostbusters is... And if you haven't watched Ghostbusters in a while, I highly recommend it. It does hold up, I think. Asterisk. It is from the 80s. So, like, it ain't perfect.
Well, no, but, I mean, it's still pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a very good movie. One of my favorite things about it is it doesn't feel like any other movie.
No. It comes from that era in, like, the mid-80s to early 90s where they didn't care about labeling it with a genre. They just made a fun movie that they wanted to make.
Yeah. So, Ghostbusters is a comedy, kind of, only because the people in it are comedians, but it's not really a comedy.
No. I think what Ghostbusters is, I think the genre that Ghostbusters falls in is fun.
Yeah, it's like a fun movie.
But that's different from family fun.
Right. Because, like, it's got horror elements, it's got sci-fi elements, it's got comedy elements, it's got, like, I don't know, it's just got this really weird act structure. Because Ghostbusters is kind of about nothing. Like, Ghostbusters is a movie that, like, doesn't have anything to say. It's just about guys, and there's ghosts, and then they got to get rid of the ghosts. Like, there's nothing else behind that. There's no, like, meaning to what the ghosts are. There's no, like, metaphor. It's just like, no, there's ghosts.
There is one, like, line in the movie where Winston, I think, is like, hey, you know in the Bible how it says when hell is full?
Yeah.
All the spirits come to Earth. Do you think that's what this is? But that's it.
That's close as it gets.
Yeah.
And that's like just kind of in the middle of the movie, just like kind of sitting there. And like there's a lot of like the EPA is the bad guys, which is like not like looking back. It's like, well, Walter Peck is not in the wrong, but he is a dick about it. And he's doing things like bad
that's
because
impossible.
He's a dick.
That's impossible. That man has no
that
dick.
Man has. You're right. This man has no dick. So like it, the movie is like very uniquely feeling, and I was like, "That's all I want from a Ghostbuster movie. I don't care what the plot is. I don't care what is happening in it. I just want it to feel like Ghostbusters, and this feels like a Transformers movie, but with Ghostbusters plot. And like I watched it again, and the thing that really struck me is like this is like what if the Goonies was about Ghostbusters instead of pirates?
That's what Stranger Things is.
That's what Stranger Things is, right? And like then this guy's like, have you ever seen any Jason Reitman movies? And I'm like, yeah, I've seen a lot of them, and they're fine. Like they're like Juno, pretty good movie, a better written than directed movie, and he didn't write it, so there's that. Up in the Air, a movie featuring Anna Kendrick. That's the most things I can say about that movie. It exists, and Anna Kendrick is in it, and I think Sam Elliott's in it too, and that's nice, and I like that about the movie. Other than that, no one remembers it. No one's still talking about Up in the Air, you know? Don't come at me because this guy's
I've never
like,
heard of it.
It literally is about planes or something. I don't know. It's about being on planes a lot for work, as far as I can tell. It's a movie. It exists. So, like, I don't know. This guy just got pissy at me about, like Jason Reitman's filmography. And I was like, get out of here. Just leave me alone. So I just want the movie to not be like a 2019, or I guess a 2020 at that point, just like a 2019 regular movie, but like, hey, remember Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Because yeah, like, that's the problem with it, and I don't know if this is the right words to put into it, because again, okay. I am very stupid. But
I went to film school, so I'm stupid, but I know about one thing.
This feels like a by-committee movie of like,
yeah,
this does not feel like Ghostbusters, but look at all these references to the brand Ghostbusters we put in this movie.
Matt Groom from the Ranger Danger podcast said exactly what it feels like, because we were kind of talking back and forth about it, and he's like, this movie seems like it's not about Ghostbusters, it's about learning to like Ghostbusters from your uncle who likes Ghostbusters. He's like, there's these kids who don't know about Ghostbusters, and then this one, like their teacher, Paul Rudd, whom I love and looks very fun in the movie, like, it's like he likes Ghostbusters, and like all of his ghost, what if all of his Ghostbusters toys just started working, and then you got to beat Ghostbusters? It's like, yeah, it does feel like a movie where Ghostbusters was a movie in the universe and not necessarily a Ghostbusters, but here we are.
Yep. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, the only reason it got made is because a bunch of whiny babies complained about the 2016 Ghostbusters movie because it was all women, and you know how people on the internet hate that. I don't think the movie is very good, but I don't think it has anything to do with the cast. I think it's just a 2016 comedy movie featuring ghosts.
Yeah, I have not seen that one because the trailer did not look like a movie I wanted to watch.
Have you seen, I'm trying to think of some other Paul Feig movies. Feig? I don't actually know how to pronounce it. Anyway, have you seen Bridesmaids?
No.
Okay. Well, if you've seen Bridesmaids, if you took out a wedding and put Ghostbusters in it instead, it's the same movie. The problem is he only made the one movie like a bunch of times. And like 2016 comedies are the 2002 comedies of the 2010s, and that they're just like all the same. So, like, that was my problem with it. It wasn't a comedy. It was a jokes movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was about jokes and not, like, being funny, which is, like, again, I just want Ghostbusters to be, like, also funny, but not a comedy. And well, then just do whatever you want about it.
As seriously as the trailer took itself, they yeah. did put Paul Rudd in the movie, and so I think it will be funny. I don't know yeah. if he's going to match that Venkman energy.
Who can, though?
But I don't think anybody but Bill Murray can. He doesn't want to do another Ghostbusters, so...
He's in it.
Is it?
I looked at the Wikipedia page today. All the original Ghostbusters cast, except for Rick Moranis and Harold Ramis, who has passed away, are in it. They are listed as in it. Sigourney Weaver, Dan Aykroyd.
Hold up then. Okay, so the little girl is Ernie. Definitely... It's definitely Egon's granddaughter.
Stranger Thing boy and the girl are Spenglers. I don't think by name because their mom
is Janine.
See, Ghostbusters 2 happened and she got with Lewis.
Damn it, that's right. Ghostbusters 2 is canon.
See, the weird thing is this movie is weirdly based on. There's a lot of Ghostbusters 2 references in the in the trailer, and not as many Ghostbusters 1. So it's a little weird, but yeah. So their mom is Egon's daughter, it looks like. Okay. So they are Egon's grandkids. And I think that I'm very excited about to see like what this is about. But it also feels like the movie is going to be really like not the movie itself, but like the ghost stuff is going to be really dumbed down. Like,
yeah,
because they didn't explain how ghosts happened.
They didn't show any ghosts.
No, there's some green stuff coming out of like a pit.
Think you get a half a second shot of Slimer maybe flying down the street. Because I think Slimer was in the trap.
Maybe, because there was like a shot of something. But yeah, so like that. I don't know.
Depending on what the ghosts end up looking like, that's going to determine, I think. Because Ghostbusters has a very unique way of designing its ghosts.
Yeah, and that there's no like... rubric, like there's no pattern. Ghosts just are whatever they want them to be, which I really like about it. But I'm very worried that the ghost stuff will all be like focus grouped to hell, so like it makes perfect sense and everything lines up so nobody's confused. Because if you watch that first Ghostbuster movie, Ray just says nonsense the whole time. He doesn't say anything that has, like, I don't think there are any real world.
No, he just says a bunch of science words strung together.
Yeah, science words that are, like, vaguely ghosty. And then he's like, that's ghosts. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to worry about it. We just know we're going to shoot him with a nuclear laser and put him in a box.
The problem is we have the internet now and everyone's a fucking smarty pants.
Right?
And so we can't have fun like that in movies anymore.
That sucks.
Because then it'll get rated, like, 30%. On Rotten Tomatoes because the science is bad.
Hey, you know what got 30% on Rotten Tomatoes? Godzilla, King of Monsters. That's the second best movie of the year. So at least that critically it got 30%. Audience, it got like 80 because when you leave like people to just like think about stuff by themselves, they'll either figure it out or they won't, you know? Anyway, that's been 20 minutes on Ghostbuster. I don't even remember the subtitle. That's
Afterlife. So it is not Ghostbusters 3. so that they can erase this movie later if they have to.
If it doesn't do well, they can throw it out. And I've seen a lot of people being like, oh, I really hope that Ghostbusters 2016, like something, they like reference it in some way. I'm like, no, because in that movie, Bill Murray plays a guy who's not Peter Venkman. Like, that movie doesn't take place in the same continuity as the original two Ghostbuster movies.
Now I kind of want to watch. Is that on Netflix?
I don't think it's on. I don't know if it's on Netflix. I will look later. It's worth a watch. It's like, it's good. My two big problems with it are that it's just about jokes. And everyone really loves Holtzman. But she's just mostly like a meme instead of a character.
Yeah. Well, that's how you win now.
Yeah, exactly. And like... I don't know. I just don't really care for her, and a lot of people seem to like her, so I don't want to say it too loud.
It's because she, and I can tell just from the trailer, she was made to get that knee-jerk reaction, and on the internet, the knee never stops jerking.
You know what? Boy, we need to put that on a t-shirt. On the internet, the knee never stops jerking. Boy, howdy. Anyway, do you want to talk about Power Rangers?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, this is a Friday episode. We normally do middle stuff, but like this is not coming out until next year, so
everything could be different by then. So who knows?
Thank you to all of our patrons. We really appreciate you. If you are new, next week we'll get you. So we start off with Jindrax, sad by the river, and he's just like talking to a mirror that I think was Toxica's, or was it his?
I can't remember.
I feel like I've never seen this mirror before, but it seems important.
I know we've seen it before because I remember we talked about it. I feel like it was Jindrax that had it.
Okay. So maybe he just, like, has it. And he's also got Toxica's horn, a grim reminder that she got mutilated before being murdered.
Yep.
Woof. So, yeah, he's sad by the river, and he's talking about how, like, his only friend is gone, and now he doesn't know what to do. And then we cut from there to the Animarium, where Merrick is just sad in the Animarium.
He's definitely angry sad.
because he's like, I failed the princess. And Alyssa's like, hey, we all feel pretty bad about that. Like, it's not just you. I think I put the wrong stank on that sentence, because she's not, like, accusatory. She's like, hey, no, we all feel bad about it. Because we all let the princess down and let her get captured. Like, you don't have to hold this burden by yourself, which I know you love doing.
Because you're a 3,000-year-old teen.
Well, look, he's a teen for so long that you can't get rid of that. And then Taylor's like, hey, shut up. We're going to go find the princess. We're gonna get her back. Quit moping. That's not going to solve anything. Because at least there's one person on the team who can get stuff done. Then Onikage, the ninja star man, he just, like, starts spinning above the pool, and it's an illusion, and Cole's ready to fight, and Merrick's like, it's just a trick, don't worry about it.
Yeah, he says, no, don't, it is a ninja trick.
It's a ninja trick.
You will fall in the pool, you'll look really goofy in there.
The phrase ninja trick will come up one more time, at least in this episode, and it is very funny. Onikage's like, come to the quarry by the river if you want Princess Shayla back. And the Power Rangers, they, like, the it disappears. And the Power Rangers, not for one second, are like, oh, well, that's a trap.
Right. Well, they are led by Cole, who is 1 and also 20 at the same time.
Right. So he's got a lot of...
He's like, we're going to the quarry. We're going to get the princess back. They're just going to give her to us, and then we're going to kick them. And it's going to be good for us.
The weird thing about this is that Onikage's like, hey, I know, like, a minute ago we kidnapped the princess, but we're ready to give her back to you, and we will not say any conditions, so it seems like it's like we're just going to give her back.
Yeah.
We didn't actually – we already got a princess. We didn't realize we bought one the other day. Right. We got one for as a gift.
You can trust me. You just watched me kill one of our own, but you can trust me. I like the Power Rangers, I guess.
You watched me betray someone for personal gain before, like again, 10 minutes ago. So we cut to the quarry. I don't see a river, but there's a, you know, we're in a quarry, and all the bad guys are there. Jindrax is there. He's the one in charge of, like, Princess Shayla wrangling. She's, like, got, like, duct tape around her elbows so that they're, like... stuck to her, so she can't really move her arms very freely.
She is captured. She is visibly captured.
She's been caught. And so he says something really quietly about, like, hey, come on, just, like, keep moving. Like, he's so defeated this whole episode. It's very sad. And in the opening credits, Master Org and Toxica, because they are face characters, get, like, credits. He does not. I don't know who plays Jindrax, but he's extremely good. Onikage is like, yeah, we set up this trap for the Power Rangers. It's going to be great. And Mandalog's like, yeah, dope idea, Onikage, my very extremely loyal servant.
Yeah. And then Onikage immediately sends every red flag up to me when he's like, just hand me your weapon and have a nice relax.
Just go do a sit over there and watch all the trap happen.
Mandalog's like, hell yeah. That sounds great. We still don't know what the trap is, like, what will spring when they get there.
It's not, I mean, here's the other thing, is, like, there isn't a trap. He has a power that he didn't use last time that he has now that he's just using in the quarry because it's, like, more open, I guess. There's not, like, a big box with a stick propping it up underneath.
Or they don't have two regular orgs, like, to ambush them, or a boulder on top of a cliff that they're going to push down.
Right. It's just like, I'm going to use my power, one of the powers I have, but here instead of anywhere else. So the Rangers show up, and then he springs his trap, which is just casting a power that he has now, and that's that Onikage can make Shadow Rangers. And they're called the Shadow Rangers, and they look pretty dope.
They do. Their helmets throw me off a little bit because they're all black and they have just like the little splash of color or whatever, like the design part on the top of their helmet is.
Yeah.
But the rest of them is just black and maybe like a little bit of gold.
Maybe. So
the color schemes are a little funky.
Yeah, because it's their helmets. It's like the same helmets that the Rangers wear, but their suits are like the helmets are like black, except for like you said, like the little like Alyssa has like on the top of the head like a little pink,
right?
Some
like
stripes
the
or
tiger
whatever.
Stripes. Yeah,
yeah. Other than that, it's all black. Their suits are like all black.
I think that might be what throws me off the most is that the suit is just like a solid black.
There's nothing breaking it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that might be it.
But they are the second best evil ranger team.
After the Psycho Rangers, yeah.
Appearance wise, anyway.
Yeah, because I mean, well, yeah, they're not in like ski masks and like onesies that are ripped in the butt so they can't move.
Or they went to the dollar store and bought powered fighter,
powerful ranger,
powerful fighter costumes.
They didn't have anyone's like kid's art teacher whip something up. So they're too evenly matched because they're their shadows. By the way, it's literally their shadows. Like their shadows like slide out from under the Power Rangers, turn into the Shadow Rangers.
That's really cool. I really like that as a power. Be like, I'm going to make your shadow fight you.
Yeah, and it has like a couple other things that like they reveal as the episode goes on that I think really sets up the end very well. So good power, Onikage. I don't know why you didn't use it last time, but you know, hey.
Did you notice his big chest horn this time?
I did. So when he's talking to Mandalok, he like turns to the side specifically so he's completely silhouetted, and it's daytime in the quarry, so the background is like whitish yellow rocks, and it's just his big purple horn sticking out. And I was like, oh, you cannot look down too quickly.
No, you have to bend at the waist or you're going to impale your face.
You will die.
Just poke yourself in your only eye.
So they're fighting. The Shadow Rangers, the regular Rangers. And Shayla, like, I don't know how to describe it other than, like, fusses. Like, she's just like, And, like, she doesn't try to get out or anything. She's just like...
Her feet are free, and we saw her throw good kicks last time.
See, that's... In hindsight, it makes it worse, right? That last time we saw her just go complete Matrix, and now she's like, well, my elbows are stuck to my ribs. My arms below that are still free. And I can still kick, but I'm trapped.
I have a rewrite for the back half of this episode. I don't know how it would work with the episodes going forward, but I definitely have something that I wish happened.
Okay.
That would have been really cool, and I'm excited to talk about that in about 40 more minutes.
Okay, sweet. So Jindrax is like, hey, you can't help them. And he's still, like, very sad. The Rangers can't win because it's obviously their shadows.
Yeah, the way he, because Shayla's fussing and like trying to get away, and the way he's just like, hey, don't.
Yeah, he's like, come on.
Is like, just, all right. Don't you leave me too.
Right. It's very sad. This poor boy. So then the Rangers are all beat up. They're like knocked down, and Mandalok's like, oh, Onikage, you're so good and cool. What a great plan. And he's like, I am but a humble ninja who serves my one true master. And then he like looks over at some rocks.
Yeah, and Jindrak's
what
like,
are you looking at?
Yeah, what's over there? What are you looking at?
And from the rocks, like lightning kind of teleports. There's like a lightning teleport burst thing. And dun dun dun, it's Master Org. He's back with a slightly new look that makes him look much better.
He does look a lot more menacing now.
So his hair's out. That's the big one. Yeah. Because he used to have a little hat on because his horn and the eyeball on his forehead were fake. So he had a little hat and his hair came out from under it. His hair just looked like it was part of the hat before. Now it looks like a hair. That's a good upgrade. He's got a big horn.
He's got that eye on his head, which is actually a prosthetic on his head, but it blinks with CGI.
Yes.
And it's off-putting effect.
Yeah, I don't think they had the technology or the resources to like get a fake eye that would blink in such a small space back then.
I appreciate the effort in such a small detail, because in any older any season of Power Rangers before this, that eye just would not blink. It would just be on his head.
Well, like in even in like in the American footage, like Onikage's eye blinks and moves, and I was like, oh, before it'd be like, well, the American suit didn't get the motors, like we didn't ship the motors over. So yeah, it is a really good little detail. But he comes out, he's also got this big old horn. It looks like you know, like when you leave like an onion somewhere too long and like part of it sprouts out.
Yeah,
it's like that. It's huge, but it's like it just looks, this big onion sprout.
It looks like it's on his head the wrong way, because it's coming out more of the top of his head than his forehead.
Right. Well, because he's got an eyeball there.
So I think they designed it to kind of like come out of the forehead and curve back. But the way it has to sit on his head, it would fall. So it's curving forward instead.
Yeah, it's weird because it doesn't have much of a curve to it. But from some angles, you can clearly see that it's like just kind of weird. So Master Org's there and Mandalok shoots him. He's like, you fake, you're a human. And he shoots his horn with like lightning and it just bounces away. And he's like, I am not human no more. He is, by the way, Master Org is full on Tommy Wiseau in this episode.
Yes. And they did put like a tiny little like reverb filter under his voice now. It's like you really gotta listen for it.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah, it is there. It's more noticeable in a couple spots than others, but it's pretty subtle.
So then Onikage walks over to Master Org and is like, here is the weapon of the guy who killed you. And Master Org takes that, and Mandalok's like, hey, what are you doing? Give that back. Like, that's mine. And Onikage says something about, like, I got rid of that witch Toxico just like you wanted, Master Org. And Jindrax is like, you wanted that too?
Yeah, like Jindrax just goes, what?
Yeah.
But like, from the story that we know so far, it makes sense that Master Org would want Toxico gone, because Toxico is the only one that was onto him before.
Yeah, and she was like the one who gave him the business when she found out.
Yeah, and I bet he's scared of her.
Probably. Onikage is like, yeah, I did that for you. And Jindrax is like, and we hold on his face while they're still talking for a minute to be like, he is betrayed and very upset.
Yeah, I know it's just one mask that can't emote, but you can tell that he's upset.
Always a sign of a good suit actor. When, like through a static face, you can tell what they're doing. So then Mandalok like takes a step back and almost falls off a cliff. And then Master Org starts gloating. And Mandalok's like, well, I'm just going to kill you now. And he starts running towards him. And Master Org doesn't even move. He just like blasts him with both weapons. He's like, you're dead now. And then Mandalok dies.
Yep.
Then that's it for Mandalok.
Now the whole face has been destroyed.
Then we've gotten rid of the whole face. We need Manos. The hands left. So he's like, thank you, Onikage. And Onikage's like, hey, yes, master, but I'm not done yet. Now I need to go kill Jindrax. And Jindrax is like walking backwards and he's like kind of using Shayla as a shield. And he's like, hey, man, hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah. And Shayla is even like, Jindrax, you need to get out of here.
I love that. Shayla's like, Jindrax, go. Like, go right now. They're going to kill you. And he's like, you know what? Screw this. And he just grabs Princess Shayla teleports away.
He says, this is actually like a really quick blink and you miss it, like really good character thing for Jindrax, who says, why me?
Yeah.
But then he puts himself in front of Shayla and teleports away.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
It's very good. He teleports away. We cut back to the Rangers, who see the shadow selves, and they're like, we're too evenly matched. We can't do this. So they use ninja tactics. Cole's like, hold on. And he shoots the ground a bunch and smoke comes up. And then the Shadow Rangers run over and the Rangers are gone. I just like that. They're like, we'll just use regular.
Yeah.
Like an actual smoke screen to get out of here. So then we cut to the woods. Jindrax and Shayla reappear. And he's like, ah, beans, what am I going to do? And then Master Org, like, magic yells across the world, I think.
Yeah, he says something. He's like, Jindrax, bring the princess back and I'll forgive you. But, like, when he first starts talking, he was like, Jindrax, I'm back in the grid. I'm like, wait, is there, like, an org grid?
There's a Nexus. They mentioned the Nexus a couple times.
Maybe he said Nexus. He's like, I'm back on the Nexus.
You gotta come back. Maybe the Nexus is like the evil Morphin grid.
Maybe. Yeah, he's like, bring me the princess and I forgive you.
I will forgive you. And then he turns to Onokage. He's like, go kill him.
When he gets here, stab him in the throat.
He's like, me and the Shadow Rangers are going to go fight the Power Rangers once and for all. So then we cut back to Jindrax, who is very sad. And Shayla, like, tries to console him. And he's like, you don't need to do that. Like, I'm just like, so lonely now. My only friend is dead. I don't trust orgs anymore. This really sucks. And she's like, yeah, it sucks losing someone you're close to. I'm really sorry about that. And she's like, a nice moment between them.
Yeah.
We cut to the Rangers. They're by the river next to the quarry. And they're like healing up. They're just patching wounds. They're just wrapping bandages around themselves wherever they've been hurt. And Cole's like, with Master Org back. And then he said something and the chainsaws started.
He's like, he used to have a heart, but now he's only an org, or he's like, now he's evil and like does bad stuff.
Okay.
And that's when Taylor runs up and like wants to smack him.
Yeah. Cause she's like, he's not a human anymore. He's just an org. We have to kill him. We've got to do murders to him.
It's not like he's some kind of Black Knight from the past, maybe the future.
Yeah. Who might be a regular person still? We don't know. He's just an evil monster man now. And then I think Master Org just like...
he pops in and he's like, I am an org, and like shoots them.
Yeah. And so then they like fight the Cole like attack. He like shoots they do like a really cool like reaction morph. Yeah, they all get like, blasted.
It's while he's shooting at them, you hear a quick like wild access. And then when the smoke clears, they're morphed. It's really good.
Very good. Cole shoots the Lion Shadow Ranger, and he gets hurt. Like, Cole gets hurt. And he's like, if we hurt them, we just hurt ourselves. And Master Org's like, yeah, they're your shadows. So it's like, I like how they waited on this. Because, like, a lot of times I feel like Power Rangers just be like, right away, we'll put that information out there. But, like, they let it, like, kind of layer up.
Yeah.
So, like, keep this in mind for later.
Yeah, because Master Org is very straightforward with whatever you do to them is done to you.
Yeah, which is like explicit, and which we're gonna need, but it isn't like immediately like, these are the Shadow Rangers, if you hurt them then you'll hurt instead. I just like that they waited. So then we come back to the woods. Jindrax mostly talking to himself about like just being sad and how he misses Toxica. I think he's talking to Toxica's horn.
He might, I think, be
kind of what it reads like.
Yeah,
because he's just like, I'm just like sad and I'm alone now.
Well, he's looking in the mirror.
Is that mirror like a mirror to heaven?
I think he's just like literally reflecting on everything that's happened. But we do
maybe
get,
you're right.
This might have actually been the first time we came here when it was him and Shayla after they warped away. But he's looking into the mirror, and then we get this like the shot where the camera moves a little bit and Shayla comes into focus on the camera. It's really good.
Yeah, I think that was when the first time, because like when
this
she comes
one?
Up. Jill Donnellan.
Jill, this 50-50 booking, I don't know. I don't know about this.
I think after the last episode and this one, I don't think Sing Song was her fault. I think that was like a committee move.
I think
she just got like
stuck. Too much corporate meddling.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's when like Shayla goes to console him. So he's talking, he's like reflecting, I guess, which is like, now that you said that, I'm like, damn, Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Doing filmmaking stuff. Look at you. And Shayla's like, you can't trust them. Like, he's like, no, I have to. Because, like, he said that if I bring you back, he'll forgive me. And I got to trust Master Org. And number one, why? And number two, don't.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen, like, he ordered Toxica dead. And Onokage was about to kill you also on his orders.
Yeah. In front of him. So you know he's cool with it. So he's like, no, I got to trust him. And Shayla's like, okay, that's bad. That's a bad idea. But then Onokage shows up and is like, hey, gonna kill you. And he's like, no, we're on our way. We're actually on our way back right now. Gonna give Shayla back. We're gonna make this right. He's like, oh, we only need Shayla. We don't need you.
Yeah.
And then they start fighting. And Jindrax, I wish, would have done a little more.
It reads to me like he's not ready. He's not ready to like really fight, and also right. like mentally, he is just not in a place where he really can fight back very well.
That makes sense.
So I like it that he's like first he starts trying to like bargain with Onikage,
yeah,
and he's like, "Hey, man, we're going. Everything's fine. I'm on your side. We're gonna go back. Yeah. We're gonna give the princess back. Everything's gonna be good." And then Onikage like beats him up, and then he gets knocked down, and he does try to like throw a dagger at him, but he doesn't like really try to throw a dagger. It's just more of like a "oh, stay away."
Yeah, and Onikage just kind of like knocks it out of the way with his sword. And at some point, he's down. He pulls a sword out, and he's like, "Hey, stand back! Like I don't, you know, like just leave me alone."
I feel like we need him to do just this little bit here so that later on it's more impactful, because if he was already standing up to them here,
right,
then the end game of this episode, or like the final little few minutes,
right, probably wouldn't land as well.
And then whatever is going to happen with Ginger Axe going forward, I have a fantasy booking for it, but
oh yeah, same. So speaking of which, whenever that pops, is that after the big speech?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So that we're actually pretty close to that. So he's like, "Join your friend Toxica in hell."
Yeah.
And he goes to kill, he like runs at him, and Shayla does this like, "Okay, here we go," and just charges at Onikage and like tries to tackle him out of the way, and it stops him for a minute, but doesn't like really do anything. And then so he turns to go like murder her, and Jindrax like runs up to stop him from doing that.
But you see, it was a ninja trick.
It was a ninja trick. He gets slashed, this big yellow, like, explosion slash.
I am shocked that Jindrax did not explode.
There was, like, legit, like, sparks and, like all the signs of, like,
yeah, he was
the monster like, is dead.
The sword glows yellow, and it slices Jindrax, who then he glows yellow and slowly falls backwards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a death scene. Jindrax is dead now. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But he didn't die because, like, the next scene is him, like, standing – because they, like – Onikage leaves with Shayla, and, like, Jindrax, like, pushes himself up to his feet.
Yeah,
and we don't even see him. We see like his feet stand up.
It's like, it's like an extreme close up of his hips and then his feet, because he's like crawling forward, and you can hear him as it starts to fade out. He's like, "You're gonna pay for this."
Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good stuff. So we cut back to the Rangers. They're in the quarry again, getting blasted by shadows, when Onikage shows up with Shayla, and he's like, "All right, got her back. Took care of Jindrax." At some point, Shayla, like, before Onikage leaves, Shayla, like, goes to, like, go to Jindrax, and she just gets yanked back, and Onikage's like, "There's no saving him now," or something like that.
He says he's not worth it.
He's not worth it. Rude.
Yeah.
So then, 1 second later, Jindrax shows back up, and he has this, he's like, "I have had it with you," like, and he's looking at Master Orc and Onikage, and I don't remember if he says, like, especially you to Onikage or to Master Orc.
He definitely goes off on Master Orc.
Okay.
Because he says something of, like, Jindrax, who is an Orc, says to Master Orc, "You have no heart." He's like, you are worse than evil.
Yeah. It's great. He has this whole big speech. It's very dramatic. It's very well delivered. He's like, "I've lost, like, I've had it with you. I've lost my only friend and my faith in orgs altogether." And he's like, "Why me? Like, I just want to be done with all this."
He even brings up, he's like, "Toxica and I were here for 3,000 years doing everything we could to ensure, like, the org takeover would happen. And, like, we're the most loyal orgs you've ever had,
and then you just kill us, like, you trick her into getting murdered, and then now you're trying to kill me." He's like, I'm done. And then Onikage is like, "Well, idiot, now I'm gonna destroy you with your own shadow." And so he goes to do the power at him, and Jindrax whips out the mirror and bounces back whatever thing makes the shadow turn, you know, come out. And it hits Onikage, and then Onikage's shadow, like, sneaks out of him and pops up.
Yeah, and Onikage's like, "I could not have foreseen this."
He's like, "Oh, no." And then he even says, like, I can't do anything about this without killing myself. Uh-oh. And so when this happened, I was like, please let Onikage's shadow be, like, light. Like, be, like, a white and yellow version.
Oh, yeah. You have to fight the good part of yourself.
Yeah. That would have been really cool. It's just, like, a shadowier him. Yeah. So that didn't happen, but it could have. And Cole, he's like, yeah, I can't kill it or else I'll kill me. And Cole's like, hey, you dropped your pocket or something like that.
He just yells, like, hey, Onikage, because they have their big gun ready to shoot him.
Yeah, he's got the Falcon Summoner, and he shoots Onikage, who dodges, but he dodges out of the way, so Cole just shoots the shadow, and he's like, gotcha. Ninja trick.
You've been ninja tricked.
And so he's like, good one, and then dies.
Yeah, he's like, great ninja trick, Cole.
He's, even though it killed me, I do love a good ninja trick. And he dies, and as he dies, the shadows disappear. Cole, like, knocked his down, and then it disappeared on the ground. But the other ones are all, like, jumping to stab the Rangers to death, and they all disappear midair. So then Master Orc just throws some beans in the foam, and he grows Onikage. And he's like, now, Onikage, do your ultimate ninja trick.
Okay. This is the big ninja trick, right?
Yeah. Your ultimate ninja trick. Remove them from the world. The weirdest way to say that. So, Onikage, to be fair, though, Onikage
does have a split the fabric of space and time and take you to a skull dimension power.
Yeah, it takes you to, like, the River of the Dead.
But there's an extra little bit of time between when Master Org tells him to take them out of the world and then when he does. So for a minute, I was like, did he just mean kill them?
Like, yeah, that's what I thought.
Is that what he meant when he said remove them from the world?
Because I was like, that's the weirdest way to get around saying kill them, yeah. Right?
We could just say destroy them like we have for 8 other seasons.
Yeah, but no. So he splits the sky open with his sword. It looks like he's going to slash them, but then the sky splits and a big hand reaches out and grabs the Rangers and pulls them to hell. To, like, literal Hades, like the River Styx.
It's definitely Org hell because those Org ghosts are here.
Yeah. And so there's, like, a whole – the first one we see is that one that was made out of 6 different orgs. It's, like, a tombstone with, like, a red and a blue thing. And there's, like, the Ocarina Man and a whole bunch of other ones.
Yeah, it was Ocarina Man, Clock Man, Bell Man. And I think there was one more.
It might have been Steam Engine Man again.
It could have been. Because I think it was the same ones that he made the illusions of.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So then Cole says, Onikage must have sent us to the ghost world. Okay, that's a good guess because you're right.
Yeah, because I think Danny was like, we've destroyed them before.
Yeah, and Cole's like, well, then we're in ghost world.
Yeah,
now.
This must be ghost times.
So here's the thing. You know how when you're trying to type a swear and autocorrect won't recognize it or help you, and so it never
autocorrect gets it? Is a prude.
It's a real prude. It did autocorrect ghost to shit.
Oh, so you're in the sh- world.
They're in the sh- world. And they're not wrong. Autocorrect's not wrong. It's just like, why now? You capitalize and all the time for no reason. This is the one time I trying to type an F word. And it's like, did you mean ducking? Never. Not once in my life. If I did, I would probably start it with a D.
And now it's like, you do say shit a lot. Was it all caps too?
No.
Oh.
If it would have been, maybe that would have made sense. But nope. Anyway, so they're like, all right. Oh, then Onikage is like, now you're in ghost world with me. I own ghost world. And then he's like extremely big. And so the Ranger's like, wild doors, descend. And I'm like, did you expect that to work?
I was like, why are you even trying?
Like, for one second.
I guess you don't have anything else and you got to try to know for sure.
Right. But right before that happens, we cut to Master Org throwing Shayla in a prison cell back at Org base. Also, did something happen to Jindrax?
I don't think so. After they shot Onikage, we just kind of cut away from that. So we don't really know how they separated without killing Jindrax.
Right, because he just left, and it looks like I didn't say anything about him in the rest of my notes. So I guess he just ran off. Get out of there. Go recoup. Go lick your wounds, bud. We cut to Shayla crying. We get a Shayla cut, but it's just her crying. And then we cut back to the Rangers.
Yeah, and I think she says, like, something like she can't sense them anymore.
Something like that.
She's just wistfully looking out her jail cell window, weeping.
And then we come back to the Rangers, and there's a whole bunch of orcs around them. And then we come back to Shayla, just like, her face is just soaked.
They sprayed her. They must have just spritzed her with a squirt bottle and then dropped some eye drops down her cheeks.
Her face is just drenched with tears, and it falls onto her bat necklace. And then a little Tinkerbell flies out, and it flies out of the orc base, and it flies up to the Animarium, and it flies over to the Wild Zords, and it flies into the lion's mouth.
It's so gross. I was like, ew.
What is that? And why did it do this?
That is Shayla's salty magic that makes that makes the lion zord big.
It grows the lion zord to like double Megazord size. And then is it the whole Isis Megazord, or is it just like the top half?
I think it's the whole Isis Megazord, because the Isis Megazord uses the Falcon instead of the Lion.
Yeah, but like, so the Falcon comes out, it starts transforming. Oh, but I don't remember seeing if the pants part came with it.
What?
And then it's,
what pants does the Isis Megazord wear?
Isis Megazord has rhino pants.
I did not see the rhino come out. So
I didn't either.
Maybe it just plugs its legs right into the back of the Lion then?
Maybe. It's also like, I don't know what the arms are, because one of them is the elephant's.
The other one was the tiger. I think I remember seeing the tiger.
I think you're right, but that would be on the wrong side though, right?
Hang on, I'm looking at an image of the Isis Megazord here in just a second.
Because the tiger's not in the Isis Megazord. It would be the giraffe, but...
The Isis Megazord toy is the... Okay, even this picture of the Isis Megazord is the giraffe is the right arm and the deer is the left arm.
So it's just the Falcon and the elephant.
It's the Falcon and the elephant, and I swear to God the white tiger was in there.
Maybe. Because so then it like just like clicks on, and now it's riding the lion like a mount, and it flies to hell. Into Hades. And it kills.
It opens its own portal in the sky and just flies through it.
It kills all the rogue org spirits. So now they're double dead. And Danny goes, look, the Pegasus Megazord. You've never seen it before. How do you know what it's called?
How do you know that?
What are you doing, Danny? Just making stuff up? No, that's not what Pegasus looks like at all.
No part of this is a Pegasus, except maybe the wings.
Yeah. You know Pegasus has wings? Well, apparently if you just put wings on anything that doesn't normally have them, that's a Pegasus.
That's
now.
Pegasus. Even if it's also like a manticore.
Yeah. It's just like, what? Daniel, it wrecks all the spirits, and then it just kills Onikage. It does like the Isis stare, so it freezes.
It's fighting of its own free will, like it's sentient.
Oh yeah,
it's not being piloted.
Rangers are on the ground.
Yeah, Cole says. Cole looks at this Pegasus Megazord and says, "Make sure you kill it this time.
You do the work.
Yeah,
you got. Hey, you got this big guy. Thanks." So it kills him. They all come back to the alive world. Then we cut to Shayla in her cell, and I guess. Her bat necklace is also a little squirt pool because she can see the Power Rangers in the blue gem in it.
She filled it up with that good squirt water.
Oh boy. So then we cut to the Rangers unmorphed. They're on the beach, and Merrick's like, I'm the princess's guardian. I got to start acting like it. And then they spend the next, I think, 7 minutes talking about how good and cool Princess Shayla is. And Taylor's like, we wouldn't even be Power Rangers without her. And it's like, well, Taylor, wrong. She was asleep when you were chosen by the Wild Zords. Right. What? Why are they trying to make Shayla look like Zordon?
They want her to be Zordon, but they didn't give her any of Zordon's qualities.
Yeah. like, Zordon wanted to kill the Power Rangers, like, a lot of the time, and was, like, kind of Dumbledore about a lot of stuff.
That is very true. But he also literally gave them their powers.
Yeah. Like, he hand-selected them. Well, it was kind of like a random lottery, but, like, he did be like, here's your powers.
They tuned the teleporter to teenagers with attitude.
Yeah, and it picked just five ones that knew each other. What a coinkydink. Alyssa says something about how, like, we love her, and she does everything for us again, and, like, okay. And then Max is like, yeah, and when everyone else here thinks I'm a little kid, Shayla doesn't think I'm a little kid. And I'm like, that's a weird thing to say. And then Danny's like, yeah, and she, hold on, did I write it down? He's like, yeah, and she believed in our dreams. And, like, when? What?
All she does is curl up in a pool.
She just sits down in a pool and then comes back and yells at Merrick about his flute sometimes.
And then one time she kicked Oscar's ass.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, she believes in our hopes and dreams. So we got to believe in her hopes and dreams. And then they put their hands in. It's just Max and Danny. They're like, never give up. And it's like, pull it back.
Shayla's hopes and dreams right now are to be uncaptured.
And then one by one, they all put their hands in, and Cole's like, we're going to get her back. And he puts his hand in, and it fades out, and the episode's over. The fade is terrible. It just completely sinks any dramatic tension they build up at the end.
They didn't start with that, right? That came about like 10 episodes in. They were like, what if we fade to black?
I think it was like 3 episodes in. It definitely wasn't like the first 1 or 2 episodes. I don't remember how early it was. It wasn't the first one, but then they're like, what if we fade? And it's like, no, that makes it seem like we're just going to, like, the store now.
Right. We'll be like, back after this commercial break.
Yeah, but we
next
won't.
Next week.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the end of the episode. Josh, you started, so I get to pick the best.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I don't know if I want to best this because I'm going to MVP him.
It's tough, right?
Yeah. I think I'm just going to best Jindrex's big, like, fuck you, fuck the orgs.
Yeah.
I hate all of you. That whole speech was really well done.
I'm going to best Shayla.
Okay.
Being like, I tried to save Toxica. She wouldn't listen to me, but you're still here. And like,
so you can.
Yeah. You're going through the same thing, but different.
Right.
You're more like mourning than like vying for approval.
Right.
And she's like, and I just, if I could convince you, maybe that'll make up for Toxica being shot through her back.
Yeah. I actually think I'm gonna take mine back, and I'm also gonna best Shayla doing that. And then she also, like, puts herself in harm's way to, like, try to save Jindrax.
Yeah.
That was good. The worst is, I don't know. What was bad in this episode? Oh, the worst is at the end where they're like, Shayla rules. She's so great. We all love her. She does so much stuff.
It's really funny because we just bested Shayla, but now we're like, it's the worst that they praise her.
Well, I mean, it is because there's no evidence of her doing any of this stuff.
That's true. Everything we see from Shayla other than the one, like, badass moment we got last episode has been very absent mother.
Yeah, there was also an episode where she came down to Earth and she, like, stood in between, like, Alyssa and she looked rad, and I think we bested it. I don't remember when it was, but it was her being like, if you want to go through the Power Rangers, you got to go through me.
Yeah,
basically. And that was dope. And then it didn't show up again until last episode where she's the Matrix.
Yeah, but we never really see her doing much other than being like, there's a monster, go fight it. And then while they're fighting it, she's like, oh no, oh gosh,
Rangers. And then, like, a lot of times they'll be like, hey, Shayla, I think this. And she'll be like, no, that's stupid. Yeah. And then Animus would be like, hey, Shayla, this thing. And she's like, God, Animus, you're so smart. The thing that they said was dumb, but when you say it, it's so good.
And then sometimes she's like, hey, Merrick, I hate you and you suck.
You're a selfish baby. And then she huffs away. So I don't think them talking about how cool and good she is I think that's the worst.
I think so. I mean, the only other thing I could give it to is how dumb Master Org comes across in a heavy couple of episodes.
Yeah.
His just, like, inherent silliness, even though he's much more menacing now.
Very much so. But
he still says,
there's
your,
like,
ultimate
sometimes
ninja attack.
Yeah.
Take them out of this world.
To remove them from the world. But yeah, there are some times where he's, like, trying to be menacing, But he's like, and then this is the one fault of the, because I really like the prosthetic third eye, but the one problem is that when he's like, like doing his really bad, like evil laugh, his eyes are like squinting because like he's outside. The third eye, wide open.
Yeah. When Jindrax is giving his speech, Master Org looks baked.
Yeah.
Like his regular right? eyes are like half shut, but that one on his forehead is like, I am listening.
I'm ready. What are you going to say,
I will
bud?
I'll kill you for this.
MVP, I'm going to say, is Jindrax.
Yeah, same.
Good job. Hey, now we got to rank these.
Here's my fantasy. Let me fantasy book the end of this episode.
Yeah, before we rank it, book it.
Okay, Jindrax makes his speech, but instead of just like not being there anymore after that, he frees Shayla.
Okay.
Shayla still makes the Red Lion grow, but she pilots the Pegasus Megazord into the Hell Dimension to save them.
That would be much cooler than her crying on her necklace and that making a Tinkerbell that's also a Scooby snack.
Yep. I also am, I'm going to call my shot now. I'm going to headcanon that Jindrax is going to be a Zenaku situation.
What do you mean?
He's a person in there.
Okay.
And also they're going to bring Toxica back, and then we're going to have 9 Power Rangers.
Look, there's so many Zords. They're going to need some extra hands around.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that after this went off, as I was drifting off to sleep.
Because I had texted you and said, we need to hold on for like an hour and a half.
I was like, they made a big deal out of Dino Charge being like the, they had like 12 Rangers or whatever. I was like, yeah. This season would have been a really good season to do that in.
I think it really would have worked. I was looking up all the Zords a while ago, just to like see what they had, and apparently there's the ones that we've seen, and then there's like 5 more that don't do anything, but we see them, and the rest were just like they didn't have the budget or the time to make them for the Sentai, yeah. So that we didn't get anything.
Yeah, there's one that I've been waiting for. I think it probably just shows up as one of those 5.
It's like in the last episode, they're like, also here's some of them.
Yeah, we got these ones.
Here's a couple more.
We're gonna get them. Shoot them.
I'll be like, all right. So now, Josh, we got to rank it.
Yeah.
All right. Pretty good, right?
I think this is pretty good.
I think pretty good. So we're looking top half Amelia. I'm thinking definitely top 10.
Okay. I was thinking maybe top 5. I feel like I like this more than Soulbird Salvation, which is number 6.
Yeah, I can agree with that. What was Secrets and Lies? That was the one where it turns out Master Org's an incel, right?
Yeah, but like, I think so.
But like that's like the worst part about it. Like the rest of the episode was pretty good.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's that high up.
Unfortunately, this is a case of we only remember that Master Org is an incel.
Right, yeah. That's, sometimes the things are just so crystalline in my mind. I'm amazed we talked about any of this episode because we took an hour and a half off before we started talking about it. So good thing you remembered a lot, because whatever wasn't in my notes did not land until you were like, oh, this thing. I was like, right.
Yeah, I even I bought Latasha a TV for our bedroom because we had like a tiny baby one in there. So I got like a real adult sized one.
Nice.
So I watched this episode in bed this morning.
Ooh.
Boy, that was good.
So I think maybe better than Secrets and Lies.
I think so.
Not better than the Bare Necessities.
What? Is that the one where we find out Taylor is dead? Presumed dead.
That's the one where we see Taylor's origin story, where she was a little girl that saw the Animarium and worked the rest of her life to find it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it also has my favorite Zords in it.
It's got the Bear Brothers.
Everybody loves the Bear Brothers.
Bear Brothers are back, baby! So coming in at number 4, the Master's Herald? Is that what it's
the
called?
The Master's Herald, yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for us for today. Let me see if I still got it pulled up. Tell you what the next one is called. It's not a two-parter, and there's not a lot of episodes left. There's only
4.
2 more weeks of the podcast. Yeah. So, okay, I'm not going to look at it. The next episode is called Fishing for a Friend.
Fishing with a PH?
Nope.
Is this about Tinder?
Probably not. In 2002, dating apps were non-existent.
Right, you had to like mail in a profile, and then they would mail you back a list.
There was like, yeah, you would send in like a videotape of yourself, and then they would physically mail that to suitors. Anyway, Fishing for a Friend, next episode. We will talk about that on Monday, but until then,
may the power protect you.
Erligold. That's a new one.
Erligold?
Erligold.
Erligold, okay. The early bird catches the early gold.
The early worm
catches the early gold apple.
And then the late bird catches the newly appled worm.